Hey, thanks for checking out this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. My name is James Prophet, and today I'm out in Jerusalem Township on Lake Erie, and I'm going to be talking to Dick Carstensen about his 135-acre marsh that wasn't always a marsh.
I think I'm overdressed.
Yeah, I can't decide.
A beautiful day.
Put a heavier coat on and took it off. And, well, it wasn't getting a blind. I mean, it's pretty covered up.
So this is yours also?
Yeah.
To the right? Okay.
Yeah, our property runs from that tree line there.
Okay.
And then my brother owns the next piece over, and my sister owns the piece all the way to the tree line over there.
Nice.
And then an old family farm runs the other side of Elliston for another 60 acres.
How many acres is this all together?
Well, it's like 49 acres, counting the dikes.
Wetlands?
No.
Okay.
Well, there's 49 here, and then 25 with the two new ones.
Okay.
So 75 acres about of wetland.
And this has been in your family for some time now?
It's 57.
Since 1957?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to bale hay out here, and big money crop was tomatoes.
Right.
And Dad raised about 20 acres of tomatoes for Stokely's, and then would irrigate out of the ditch and send five kids to Ohio State.
On tomatoes and hay, right?
Tomatoes and hay. We used to put up about 20,000 bales of hay a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is all flat, dry cropland?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you decide to turn it into a marsh?
Our friend Mark Witt with a DNR stop and said, "You ever consider a 10 or 20 acre wetland?" And I'm like, "No, not really." And then we got looking at it in the spring, James, and where the end of the trees are there.
Yeah.
That's where the bean stubble was from the swale. So I called Mark. I said, "How about from back there to here?" He's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And at the time, this was the biggest wetland they'd built. So the payment they had to split between my wife and I, so we get two separate checks.
Right.
So.
How long ago was that?
2015. So we're about halfway through the program
okay.
Now, a little over half.
Dick and his wife took advantage of one of many programs designed to assist landowners financially in converting farmland into wetlands habitat in critical wildlife areas.
So you threw some decoys out here in this marsh?
I did.
You helped design and build this?
I did not. I am the youngest in our club of four out here.
Okay.
So Dick worked with, I believe, Mark Witt,
okay.
Division of Wildlife, to
right.
lay this place out. But I just help Dick manage it when I have time.
Manage it? What do you mean? It gets water in it and you come and hunt?
Well, we spray the noxious weeds out here, rototill, disc up the cattails, catch muskrats in the trapping season. Then we flood it, got to fill the tanks up with the gas back at the pump house.
That seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Is it worth it?
It is. It's our passion. Even if we don't shoot ducks, it's just sitting out here and tradition. I'm having a good time.
This water goes up and down. Like, what's the deepest portion here? And then when is it dry?
So the deepest portion is above my waders. I get wet every year.
Okay. 4 or 5 feet?
Not six. Yeah. It's probably deepest spot, about 5 foot. And then we start drawing it down after the spring migration. And this place really loads up in the spring
okay.
with all the ducks. And then after that, he draws it down. And then after everything dries up, this whole area right here that we walked in on, it was all dry. And that's when we started chopping it and letting the grasses grow back up in there.
So what type of forage is here for waterfowl when they come by?
Well, it's mostly all natural stuff. Okay. That's a lot of the grass is coming up, and we tried to plant some Japanese millet out here, but the black birch just destroy it. We have smart weed in here that's coming up natural.
Okay. So basically, this is not the type of marsh where you're loading up on flooded cornfield.
We have planted no corn or soybeans in here.
More natural.
All natural, more soil unit.
Is that more rewarding to you personally?
It is. I've hunted flooded corn, and at Point Malay in Michigan.
Okay.
And it's kind of like shooting, you know, fish in a barrel sometimes. Right. Not always, but sometimes. So it's a little more challenging. You got to work the birds here, and we're located in between Metzger's Marsh, the public area, and Ottawa and McGee, Howard, where they have lottery hunts. So the birds, you know, it's a lot of public around here. So, and you just got to, it's tough to compete with all these areas. So you really got to be on your A game when you're trying to decoy the birds in here.
Seems like a lot of trouble, a lot of time, a lot of expense to come up with a pound or two of meat at the end of a successful hunt.
Well, they always
say about that.
They always said that duck hunting is a very rich man's sport, and it's the highest price per pound of meat you'll ever buy. But it's,
you might have a point there, yeah.
Yeah, but I've been doing it since I was about 10, and it's just something it's just in my blood. I think about it 365 days a year. Yeah.
Obviously, you shoot birds. Do you consider yourself a conservationist?
Oh, definitely, also? Definitely, yeah.
What can you say about that?
So we have a wetland on our property too, just for the birds and all the animals around. But if you don't have hunting and you don't have conservation, you're not going to have the resource there. So, you know, you got to kind of manage for it to have the birds in order to hunt them. But, you know, we don't go out here and it's not about limits for us. You know, we shoot a couple birds, that's just the bonus. But it's, you know, we like coming out here and watching the sunrise, sunset, telling jokes, having fun with each other. You know, the camaraderie.
What about Petey? What's he think about all this?
Pete loves it. He's a great dog. Dick trained him, and, you know, he retrieves the birds and he brings us back to him. So he also likes to eat the ducks sometimes too, and the doves.
Is that part of the training?
You'll have to ask Dick about that. I had no part in training of Pete. He shot a dove out here one time, and Pete went out to retrieve it, and he came back, and the whole time he's swimming back, all you can see is the tips of the wings sticking out of each corner of his mouth. By the time he got back here, he ate that whole dove.
Well, Dick. We saw some geese, but none came close, and nobody took a shot. Did we waste our time?
Did you see the sunset?
Nice, no.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, did you see the swans?
Yes, very nice.
Did you see lots and lots of geese?
Oh, yeah, right at the end there.
Did you hear some awesome goose calling?
Yeah, actually I did.
Yeah, so what do we call that? That's a win-win.
I think you might be right.
And you know what the best part? We ain't got to clean any geese.
You might have a point there. And I think the dog had a good time too.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite part, James, is watching the dog go for birds and watching him come back. And evolution from the first goose he went, beat the crap out of him. And then he was like goose shy. And then the next group, he just went, and we're all holding our breath, and he jumped right on the goose. And well, it's hard to tell you, but Pitt's over on the other side.
Okay.
He just like it shot, he'd come right across the bay here, grab the goose, swim back over, get another one.
Having a snack now.
Pete, don't eat no guts. Linda wants to come out with me. She doesn't want to shoot anything, but she'd like to do the photography. The other people I've talked to, it's like, you don't have to shoot anything. You don't have to bring a gun. Just come out and sit. I don't know about you, but if I would have took my blood pressure before I came out here,
yeah,
and when I'm taking it back now, it'd be like the yogis used to say. So
much better.
Yeah.
Beautiful out here. Nice sunset. Saw some sandhill cranes too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The big thing now is the forest walking over in Europe and stuff to settle your nerves and stuff. And it's like, man, we've been doing this for a long time.
We've known about that since we were kids.
Yeah. You know, we didn't get rained on. No lightning.
If you had more land, would you do the same thing? Create more wetlands?
Yep. Definitely. To me, it's a win-win-win-win. Sometimes there's a... in the comics about guy working to live, and pig tells him, I work for money. I live to go hunting and fishing and all kinds of stuff.
Are you a Ducks Unlimited member?
Yeah.
How long have you been a member?
30 years, 35 years, long time.
Did they help you out with your marsh here? Getting it squared away?
They did a lot of the design work and stuff.
Okay.
Joe down at the soil and water.
Okay.
And then you know where the pump house is at?
Yep.
Where they paid for the supply line back to the creek and excavator, all that.
Good deal.
Part of it here too is that whole piece is in a conservation easement with DU.
Right. Hey, Dick, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and letting me visit you on your marsh and hear about what it's all about from you and Brian.
Yeah, you're welcome. We appreciate having you guys. It's fun having other people see what we do and share it.
All right. Well, hopefully, Dick, one day I'll see you somewhere around the lake.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining me for this edition of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. To hear more, go to wgte.org/lakeeffect. And I hope to see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.